All right, we are ready to rumble. Okay, it's 2nd of December 2016, going fast, and folks can get this podcast at iTunes and also crazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z, plenty going up there. Comment, look, check on the videos. You can find us on Facebook as well under The Craz Files. Plenty of stuff going up over there. Check us out on Skype. Check out opensourcetruth.com. So many websites to check out. You can also check out Donald Fox's website, donaldfox.wordpress.com, as well. Actually, I might do a podcast just promoting websites. So many websites coming out, which is a good thing. But Don Fox is joining me again, I think, to ring out the year, really. Do a probably a couple more shows and have a rest for the year. And continue into 2017. Unbelievable. Don, how are you going?
Hey, doing great. How are you, Adam?
All right. As I said, just hanging in there, finishing up the shows for the year. Unbelievable how fast it's gone. I just can't keep up. So I keep saying that. It's just flying by. It seems to go faster and faster. Work and do your things, and then it's another month, another 2 months, and then it's... I just remember, actually, it was bloody Christmas. I hate Christmas, really, sometimes just because of the crowds and stuff, but I just sort of wing it and get through Christmas, you know, as best I can, and it's here again. I just don't know what to think about it. It's just... It seems time is speeding up.
Okay, not to get too far off the beaten path, but, you know, we'll talk about this for just a minute. I actually read a guy, you know, Jim goes to these different conspiracy conferences, and one of the guys that spoke there, and now I forget his name. Oh, he's the Asian guy, and he's got kind of an alternative view of history. But one thing he was talking about, I was on his website once, and he was talking about some things that I don't normally think about. He's like, well, a lot of people say, hey, you know, the older I get, the faster time goes. And he goes, and that's absolutely true because, you know, you go to the same job, say, for 5 years. So you take the same way to work. You know, you don't have to think much about getting in the car, driving down the street, turning here, turning there, you know, getting to where you're going. And everything's kind of a routine. It's like if you move to a different city, it's going to slow down for you because you have to learn everything again.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it can be more challenging. Maybe we've lost that sort of survival instinct a little bit, you know, and we're just in cruise control a lot now, and with the technology doing everything for us, you know.
So, but see, on the flip side, though, I don't mind that because when I'm spending all my brain power and my energy on, hey, do I turn here? Do I turn there? What street is this? How do I get there? That's you know, that's less brain power you have for keeping up on the big events of the world. So
just see Don Fox drive past in a car with a confused look on his face with a map, you know, like, what the hell? I do that sometimes, looking for places. It's exhausting.
Isn't it? Yeah. See, okay, well, if you want time to slow down, then, you know, uproot your life, move somewhere else, and then try to figure everything out again. Yeah. That's your alternative. So I, to me, I don't think it's a great alternative because I'm a creature of routine, and a lot of people out there are. So.
Creature of habit, yeah. I think as long as you're pretty healthy and happy in your environment and you work as best you can, I think if you're miserable, you know, where you live, and you know, some people are very miserable and hate their work, and they just get in and drive to work every day in the traffic, and they continue to do it for years without making that change. That can be a bad thing, but if you're happy where you live and everything, you know, that's a positive thing, I think.
As well. When I started working out, you know, 20-some years ago, you know, not that I'm like Mr. Olympia or anything, but one of the books I read, the guy said, the body loves routine. So your body does not like upheaval, change, and confusion. You know, it just doesn't thrive well in that environment. So,
yeah, that's true.
So I guess the bottom line is, the older you get, the faster it's going to go. So
enjoy
that's
it.
Where I mean, yeah, enjoy it. But what you want to do is when you look back, hey, where did 2016 go? Well, what did I do? And, well, like in your case, you can say, you know, at your job, you did, well, I did this, that, and the other. And then you know, for like this research stuff, well, hey, I did 20 podcasts or I wrote, you know, 15 articles. I actually got something done this year, you know.
When you look back on it, it's a lot, yeah. But
as you're going through it, you're like, well, geez, I should be writing about this. I should be writing about that. And I didn't cover this. And I didn't break down that. I could have done this better. I could have done that better.
That's right. Yeah, constantly trying to improve not only yourself, but the environment around you.
Well, that's just it. I mean, if everybody was happy with the way everything went, they wouldn't be tuning into a show like this. So, or if they, well, I guess we'd be talking about something else.
Yes,
so.
Good things. Happy things. Happy things indeed.
You know, like with 9/11, I was more than happy if somebody else wanted to take my info and run with it. I was more than happy to just blend back into the woodwork, but that's not the way things worked out, so.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Yeah, it's 9/11's brutal. That's a life thing, isn't it? It's not, you know,
pretty
really
much.
Is. Yeah, yeah, it'll go on beyond your death and my death.
Oh, yeah.
You're hoping, you know, other people pick it up, but it's just like one of those things, you know? It's like a puzzle of time. It's just a Pandora's box that got opened, on that front. It'll just go right down in history. It'll just go on and on and on right through time.
Yeah, once it sucks you in, you're not getting out, you know.
It's an unbelievable event, you know, a couple of buildings in particular. It's just, as I said, opened up this Pandora's box. It's like, you go in and you can't get back out. Once you start researching it, you know.
It never ends, man.
Yeah, especially for you. Yeah, your work's so dense and heavy. That's, you know.
And don't think that I don't have to go back and read my own stuff.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, because you can't remember all that. And it's like, wait, I haven't read that article in over a year. And like, oh, boy, you have to read again. Wow, we did a lot of work on that. Okay, I remember this now and that.
It's, I know. I was just thinking the other day, you know, it almost seems like all of humanity's, you know, I view it as like we're all living on a massive ship, you know, like a Titanic that's going down slowly, you know, and it's like everyone on board is going mad as the ship goes down and they don't realize that it is because they're so caught up in all the entertainment and sex and food and everything on board, and there's just like a section of our people that are that know what's going on, but we don't have the sort of power to to get down there and plug up the holes and fix anything, you know. So we're trying to do things internally, but we're looking at this huge ship cruise liner going down under the ocean slowly, and everybody going insane on the ship,
yeah,
you know. And it just seems to be like that a bit. It's like it's, you know, a lot of people are waking up to this information a lot, which is fantastic, you know. But it seems like a huge chunk of humanity have just going mad, you know. It's I look at Europe now and what's happening in France and, you know, and on the streets, and it just seems like it's just all going crazy, you know. You know, there just doesn't seem to be any control there anymore. It's slipped out of it a little bit and gone a little bit more rabid, you know.
Well, I think we were facing that, and to get back to the 2016 theme, this has really been the best year. You know, if you're a pro-white person, and that's definitely us, this is the best year that we've seen in a long, long time. Now, I know, okay, Europe's getting flooded, but, hey, look, we're starting to see signs of life now from the white man. You know, before it was we just lost every battle. We couldn't win any PR to battle. You know, nobody listened. There was low morale, and all of a sudden, now that's starting to turn around a little bit, you know. The Brexit vote in the summer, it was huge. And, you know, I listen to Radio Aryan. I don't know if you listen to any of those. You know, you can't listen to every podcast there, but they've got some good ones. And, you know, this week and last weekend, I was listening to the Yorkshire Forum. And they were talking about, hey, we've got some, you know, these guys have been around a long time in this movement. And they were talking about, hey, Brexit. Now Donald Trump in the States, he's like, white Americans got him elected. And that is definitely the case. So I think, we're getting closer to the point where, hey, maybe we can patch some of these holes below the decks and maybe get some of this water pumped out and maybe we can make it into port, you know.
Get back maybe. To land. Yeah, we're turning into a bit of a ghost ship, you know. It's,
It's like, hey, we got like 15 life rafts and, you know, 1,500 people and that's not going to work. We got to bail out some of this water, man. This is not good.
Yeah, I know. We just need people to notice, you know. I mean, all it takes is noticing. And, you know, but yeah, so, I mean, you guys have had a massive change. You know, things are, God, they're weird here, but you've had a massive change with the elections over there. I know you're a Trump supporter.
You have to be. I mean, it was either elect Trump.
Yeah, I couldn't see any choice that you guys had at all.
Or there was no choice. It was either vote for Trump or civilization collapses. You know, which is it? You know, to me, it was a no-brainer. And all these people that are all this wringing of hands on our side. Oh, I don't know about Trump. He's a shill. He works for the Jews. And look, we know for damn sure who Hillary Clinton works for. I mean, if you read any of those emails, you know, and I don't know if we're going to get into Pizzagate and all that nonsense today, but Podesta, basically Hillary was getting emails right from Mrs. Rothschild or whatever. So we know who she works for. So, yeah. I mean, there's a chance that Trump might do some good. There was no chance that Hillary was going to do any good. So on that basis alone, you had to vote for Trump.
That's right. It was weird being here because I got a sort of I sort of viewed America as being in a bubble, you know, because here we weren't getting any really proper reporting on it. It was all, I mean, if you were in Australia watching this process take place, you would honestly almost 100% think that it was going to be a Hillary Clinton win. That's how the media were portraying it, because you know, they're trying to get the public to think like that, to maybe push it over. But I was in another part of the world as well, traveling, and they were doing it there as well, and they were demonizing, especially on cable news, you know, all the Fox and CNN and all that. You know, it was all day demonizing Donald Trump, and they were really pushing. You know, the Clinton campaign, and you would have thought that she was actually going to take it out, but it was anything but. They tried to hide it all the way up till the end, these desperate scoundrels, you know. It's just unbelievable. And now in Australia, we've had these TV shows that did nothing but attack the man, and now because he's been elected, they're all sucking up to him again. It's just the media, the mainstream media are just the biggest spineless rats. That you can possibly find on planet Earth. You know.
Yeah. Well, your portrayal of the media worldwide is it meshes very well with what we were getting here in the States. All the major media was like, "Oh, Clinton's got a 80% chance of winning the election. Da 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 da. She's going to get 300 some electoral votes. Yada yada." That's not how it turned out at all. And like you said, the media continued to bash Trump, which made for a wonderful dynamic, because this is their complete worst nightmare. And
it is a nightmare.
Yeah, Trump, in fact, Trump had him all over to his place. He had him up to Trump Tower. And I caught this story on the Daily Stormer. Glorious leader holds off the record meeting with Lugenpresse, which is German for, you know, the lying press. And it was like a effing firing squad. So Donald Trump scolded the media big shots during an off-the-record meeting at Trump Tower. Monday, sources told the New York Post. It was like a fucking firing squad, one source said of the encounter. Trump started with CNN chief Jeff Zucker, you know, echo, 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 and said, "I hate your network. Everyone at CNN is a liar, and you should be ashamed," the source said. The meeting was a total disaster. The TV execs and anchors went in there thinking they would be discussing the access they would get to the Trump administration, but instead they got a Trump-style dressing down, the source added. A second source confirmed the fireworks. The meeting took place in a big boardroom, and there were 30 or 40 people, including the big news anchors from all the networks. The one source said, Trump kept saying, "We're in a room of liars, the deceitful, dishonest media who got it all wrong." He addressed everyone in the room, calling the media dishonest, deceitful liars. He called out Jeff Zucker by name and said everyone at CNN was a liar, and CNN was a network of liars. Mm. So the media had this in long coming. And of course he was in a room of liars, because basically he was in a room full of Jews. And that's who runs the damn media. That's who runs damn CNN. That's who runs NBC, CBS, ABC. They're all liars because they're all Jews.
That's right. We've got the same thing here. And that news, any news that was coming out from there, I mean, how many of these, I don't have the figures in front of me, but if you look at all the corporations in the world and news outlets and papers and magazines and everything, I mean, you know, it's all controlled by only a few of these people. You know, we have Rupert Murdoch in Australia, of course, you know. I mean, he must control about 70% of our printed media and stuff, you know, and he's a Zionist Jew as well, you know. There's that's what I know. Maybe people think I'm wrong. I don't know. You can have a look, but... you know, for his mother, so, you know, people can look into him. But, you know, that news was being very strictly, tightly controlled coming out of your country, going everywhere. I mean, I saw it here. Yeah. I mean, you would think a completely different thing. I mean, it was amazing. And, you know, I heard some really bizarre things about Hillary Clinton, you know, body doubles. You know, that some events she wasn't even there, you know, because people were supposedly at these huge Hillary events. And, you know, she's there talking and they're holding up their phone and the camera's from behind the phone. There's no one there. I don't know.
Yes,
but, you know, as an Australian, I was watching this and they were just showing these Hillary Clinton with all the makeup on. She looked great and she's up there waving to the crowd and they loved Hillary. And then they got this little nasty section on Trump, you know, that he's really tailing behind. And it was a totally different dimension to look at that. And honestly, I thought she's going to get in. I don't think he's going to do it. And it was totally the other way around. And you can see that even though they knew that what they were doing was wrong, and they knew that it was going to be a landslide, they were still trying to cover it up right to the last second, even reading out on the day who won, you know. It was unbelievable that they did that. I just couldn't believe it.
They were trying to demoralize our people. They didn't think that any Trump supporter was probably going to turn around and vote for Hillary, but what they were trying to do with all that propaganda was get people to stay home. Go, it's useless anyway. Hillary's going to win anyway. And just have a defeatist attitude and not show up to the polls and not vote for Trump. And yeah, if we all would have gotten demoralized and sat at home, Clinton would have won. But they didn't address how energetic Trump's base really is. Trump was filling up arenas, you know, since the summer of 2015, right up until Election Day. And now before he takes office, he's going to do another he's going to do a thank you tour, and he's going to hit some arenas around the country. You know, he's kind of taking a victory lap. And the energy and the crowds, I mean, if you're going to go to a Trump rally, you got to get there 8 hours before they open the doors, or you ain't getting in. The people are lined up. Okay, I live in Minnesota, and this is a state that's voted Democrat for as long as I can remember for president. It's always blue. It's. I mean, the candidates don't even come here because we're so solidly Democrat that nobody's going to waste their time campaigning here. So, but the Sunday before the election, I guess like 3 days before the election, Trump had a campaign stop here. They only announced it like 24 hours ahead of time. He filled up a whole hangar at the airport out here, the Sun Country hangar. The whole place got filled. And again, a bunch of people got turned away. And that's how enthused the public was for Trump. There was no grassroots support for Hillary Clinton. They would show like pictures of her, you know, rallies, quote unquote. And it would be like 75 people in a gym that Soros was paying to be there.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, like they were all just standing around, like, you know, BSing, like shuffling their feet. You know, they were like, what am I doing here? And where the Trump people, they all had signs. They were all, you know, they were screaming and yelling. They had shirts on. Like the one guy that showed up here at the Sun Country hangar here in town, he had a shirt that said, it was in the paper the next day I saw it. The back of his shirt said, rope, tree, journalist, some assembly required.
Yep.
So that was the mindset of the average Trump supporter here, and then versus the Hillary. So we couldn't see any real signs of life in the Hillary Clinton campaign. You know, they had, all these people are voting for her, and then what happened? Not that many people voted for her. They said, well, right. She won the popular vote. Well, and like Trump said, though, if you took away all the illegal aliens that voted in this election, she would have lost the popular vote probably by 4 million. You know, this would have been a bigger beatdown than what it was. So we have high hopes for the 2020 election because – okay, let's maybe talk about this wall quick. People are like – okay, so as soon as Trump got elected, then the Jews started saying, oh, he's going back on all his promises, you know. And this is like 5 days after the election. You know, he won't even take office for a month and a half yet. And they're like, well, he's already going back on his promises. Well, he hasn't even been sworn in yet. So he can't backpedal on a promise that he hasn't had a chance to make yet. But well, he's not going to build the wall now. And, okay, so Chris Kobach was, I believe, a representative from Kansas. He's got a job in the administration now. And he showed up at he went to visit Trump the other day. And he had a piece of paper, you know, he had his agenda or whatever. And, you know, 20 feet away, with digital photography now, they can blow it up and see what it said. And what was on the paper was build 1,989 miles of wall on the southern border, and it's going to be rapid build. And Kobach's agenda to strengthen the borders is, you know, rapid build the wall, and then update and reintroduce the NSEERS screening and tracking system. That's the National Security Entry Exit Registration System that was in place from 2002 to 2005. And all aliens from high risk areas are tracked. Extreme vetting questions for high risk aliens, including questions regarding support for Sharia law, jihad, equality of men and women, and the United States Constitution. And three, reduce intake of Syrian refugees to zero using authority under the 1980 Refugee Act.
Uh-huh.
And let's see, it goes on to say, and the entire, 1,989 miles of the fence should be rapid build, or the wall. And they're going to use the Patriot Act to prevent illegal aliens. So this is the first time we've seen a president since probably the Eisenhower administration make an effort to secure the border. And what is a nation without a border? Well, it's not a nation at all.
No, it's insane, mate. It's insane.
Whereas, as a white American, then, really, if you take away the borders of the country, what you're expected to do is build a great civilization, pay for unlimited brown people to come in, and then, you know, pay their welfare, pay their training, pay for this, pay for that. And then these people, all they do is, well, A, they hate you, and B, their IQs never go up, you know, over time that much. They don't ever contribute to your society. So you're expected to just pay for these parasites to sit around and wreck the country that you've worked so hard to build. And white America is finally saying, hey, you know what? Fuck you. And that's what we said. And that's what Michael Moore was talking about. He's like, Trump's going to win, man. He's like, this is going to be the biggest fuck you in human history. And that's what it was. The current agenda, this globalist agenda, well, what is in it for a white working person? I'll tell you, absolutely nothing. hey, you're not going to have borders. We're going to flood your country with mud people. We're going to ship your jobs overseas. And, oh, by the way, what little money you do make, now we're going to take that in taxes so we can pay for more mud people to come here and give them free health care. And white people in Europe are saying enough. In the United States, they're saying enough. And around the world, I think this is what's going to be going on now.
It's no. I really liked his presidential speech, and I like some of the things he says. There's some shady things there, indeed. You know, with appointing Goldman Sachs people, and there's some things that are shady, but overall, it's pretty positive and very positive. And I like how he actually. I was watching a late news program here in Australia, and one of the guys was over in the US talking about the election win, and he was saying that our Prime Minister, who's just an absolute idiot, oh my God, Malcolm Turnbull, he's a rich playboy the guy's a joke. I can't believe this man is Prime Minister of this country. He's the worst of the worst, really. And basically, this reporter was.
Have you seen Obama?
This guy's worse because he's a banking sort of guy, and he's in that crowd of the worst of the worst. And I just choose to ignore it. It's so bad. He's a real scumbag, and he and this reporter was basically saying that they're going to need to assemble a team. Of grovelers to basically go over there because Trump said Australia is leeching or, you know, milking off the United States and not giving anything back, you know. You know, that's what they've been doing. And, you know, but we have this new kind of government with Pauline Hanson and these independents, which what they were before, but now they've got a big seat control in our parliament, you know. We've got a big change happening there, and they were all drinking champagne out front of Parliament House in Canberra in Australia when Trump won, so they were all very happy. So this is a new kind of government we may see coming through, because I'm thinking by the next elections here, we could have big power with these new fractions that are happening, and I think this old system may get the boot. But this reporter was saying that they're going to have to send a team over there to win Trump over again, because he's come out and said, I don't trust him. And, you know, so they're scrambling to get that sort of relationship back going again, you know, because, you know, we've turned on, our government's turned on Putin, and they got, they're real, our government's real sort of that Bush, George W. Bush sort of government, you know, and going into Iraq and all of that, you know, totally controlled by Jews, Zionist Jews in the American government as well. And we've been swept up and caught up in all these wars. And we're a nightmare here as well, you know. Things have got bad here as well. So we're seeing that we're just behind the US. You guys are further ahead, you know, in population and also waking up, but it is slowly happening here, and we're getting a lot of people waking up. But I think there's going to be that shift in government here as well. But I think the current government's going to have to work very hard to get on side of Mr. Trump, because I think it's rattled a lot of cages, and you can see this. They were showing on some news stations here, there's so much scrambling going on to try and prepare for the changes that are going to come in your country, and how he's going to shift things and work back there, and what he's saying about China and the American thing, the America First thing. I really like that. I think, you know, he's not insulting anybody. He's not insulting any countries. He's saying we're going to come first now. We're going to concentrate on our jobs, you know.
When you say put America first, though, that there is one country that does not like that sort of rhetoric.
That's right. Well, you know, I was just looking at an article, Don. It was written in 2015 about six Jewish companies controlling 96% of the world's media. It's pretty incredible, these conglomerates. You know, you look at Walt Disney and these chairmen.
The media's not Jewish.
When you look in the United States, incredible, in Disney Empire, These guys are freaks, you know. You look at, Touchstone and Buena Vista and all these cable networks, 14 million subscribers. Just the Disney alone, you know, ESPN CEOs. I'll put this link up later because it's quite a large one. And all these chairmen, Time Warner and all and I love all their names. We've gone through this before. Wahlberg and Swartz and all this, but the
Rothstein, Red Touchstone, yeah, it's Sumner Rothstein, God. Sumner Redstone. His real name's Rothstein.
Rothstein and Roth. All these Jewish controlled media and publications in America, and also, oh my God, you can't get to the end of this. It is staggering. We don't have like that in Australia, but they control our media here as well. You know, they control, and then we have the small offshoots, and all these magazines. It's very large. I mean, I'd say this article would have to be correct with 96%. But you go through this, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, Blockbuster stores and Showtime and Nickelodeon and MTV and all the HBO, you know, all these corporations. Michael Chertoff, it just goes on. DreamWorks, you know, all Spielberg stuff, all these big companies. It is absolutely astonishing, you know, plus all the pornographic industry and all the magazines and women's magazines and anything like that, you know, your ABC, and it is a spider web of utter control. All your morning shows and breakfast shows and all your printed media, newspapers, all this stuff is controlled by these people, and they have massive outreach and control. And as I said, that's what we're getting here as well. And so, you know, if the Jews don't want a Trump president and are against him, then they did their best to get a Hillary Clinton win. That's the thing, you know. You've got Viacom, Universal, goes on forever and ever. I could sit here to the end of time going on about it, but they were all against a Trump win. I could see that very clearly.
Yes,
and not just that, they were demonizing him. It was very nasty and vindictive, actually. And I'm thinking, well, what's going on there? Because you're looking at totally dominated Jewish news outlets demonizing this man and pushing for a Clinton win.
Trump got elected over the complete unanimous objections of the Jewish media. So if Trump is a secret shill for the Jews, this is a very, very undercover operation.
He has aligned himself with Israel, though. But, you know, maybe.
Well, yeah, he gave him lip service.
It's a business thing, you know.
He also told him there isn't going to be any trillion-dollar wars out there, and he's going to put an end to this Syria business. And I guess, you know, for right now in 2016, I would accept a president that would say, oh, I support Israel, but then gets us out of Syria, gets us out of Iraq, gets us out of Afghanistan. And, you know, I don't care if you just don't go over there and hump the wall. And Trump has shown no inclination to do that, like Rand Paul did and, numerous others. Every one of these guys end up going over there.
Suckling at the teat.
It's disgusting.
I know I've read out this before, but it is a really good website, and it gives you good information quick. But let me ask you about this, if you're hearing anything on the ground. This is just from Stop the Blank Check. $10 million a day to Israel from the U.S. It's saying American taxpayers have given more money to Israel than any other nation, despite that Israel is being one of the richest countries in the world for its size. A whopping 10.2 million per day is sent over there. I can put this link up as well, but this is coming out of poor Americans' wallets. You know, what are you hearing about this? What is he going to do to stop this money going to Israel and their war machine and propping
them up? I don't think that's going to stop.
That's going to keep going, huh?
Yeah, everything from what I can tell is he wants to be a great president for Israel. And he wants to cherish Israel.
This is crazy. You look at the whole planet and every country on it, and then you just look at America just pumping in millions of dollars into this.
Yeah, okay. I was looking at some different scenarios over the last, you know, as far as like this whole white genocide thing. Is the United States going to balkanize? And one of the scenarios they were talking about is the white people in the United States And we've seen no inclination that this would happen, but they would completely freak out. After Trump, we get like a Hitler-style government, completely ethnically cleanse all the mud people out of the United States. We don't care if you were born here. If you're brown, you're going. And then to annex Canada and take over a third of Mexico as a buffer zone.
I heard that.
And militarily, Canada. And militarily occupy Israel.
That's right.
Now, would I love to see that all happen? Damn right I would. Do I think it's going to happen? You know, not anytime soon.
No.
That's for sure. So, you know, instead of sending 10 million, I would love to militarily occupy Israel. You know, fuck the 50,000 troops in Saudi Arabia. Let's move them all north. You know, we're going to plant them right in Israel. We're going to arrest Bibi. We're going to arrest the Knesset. We're going to arrest the Mossad. We're going to start having trials. We're going to give them all a fair trial, and then we're going to hang them.
Hey, how fast do you reckon the U.S. military could go into Israel and take charge and shut them down?
I mean, within an afternoon if they wanted to.
I'm talking complete shutdown and control. You're on our watch now, you know. You're being stripped.
And you know, one thing to keep in mind is Trump on the campaign trail, Trump talked about reopening the 9/11 investigation. Well, really, Trump? You don't think they told us the truth the first time around, huh? So you want to open
the 9/11 Commission report?
Yeah, you don't think that was fully an honest assessment of the situation, huh?
I guess at least he said it. We have to take what we can get, don't we? Because things have got so bad, you know.
There's a quote out there where he was on the campaign trail. He said, "Hey, if you elect me, you're going to find out who really knocked down the Twin Towers." No kidding. Well, okay, look, if it was widely disseminated that Israel nuked the World Trade Center buildings and the Pentagon on 9/11, what do you think would happen? I mean, we've got a lot of brain dead people in this country. There's no question.
Same.
And yeah. Now, if the brain dead people woke up one day and saw it, yeah, and if they saw it on the news or they read it in the New York Times or whatever, Israel nuked New York, what do you think would happen? You know, I think the public would be screaming for blood, and I think most of the military would too. And I think we could overtake Israel in an afternoon.
It's not just the 9/11 as well, although that's the biggest, but it's the total strip down and humiliation of America by these people. And
yes.
And I mean, how would you feel to be a patriotic American and waking up after 40, 50, 60, 70 years of your life and finding out that these ghouls have completely controlled everything that you've learned in school, on the media, on the TV, everything you've watched, everything that you've been told is a lie, orchestrated by these people in your country for your entire life. And it's all information, you know, that's really degrading your society and mocking you at the same time as you get flushed down the sewer pipes, you know?
All I could say to somebody like that would be, you know, to quote Bruce Willis, would be, "Welcome to the party, pal."
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you've been fucked over, you know? I mean, you've been used and abused.
Yeah, you know? I mean, we've been, I've been screaming about this stuff for years now, but we're finally starting to get some traction here.
It's ridiculous, too. I mean, why are you an anti-Semite? Because you want that. I mean, why are you racist? Because you want that. I mean, he's an outside foreign invader. That's what they are, and this is a hostile enemy inside the United States controlling everything like an alien parasite in people's brains. I mean, it's got to stop.
Okay, why do they call us racist and all that? Okay, well, because the truth be told, their real agenda is white genocide.
That's right.
The Jews have an agenda to eliminate white people off the planet. That's what's going on with the flood in Europe. That's what's going on with the flood in the United States. That's why they're trying to get Australia to accept immigration. You know, when they say immigration, they don't mean a few thousand scientists coming in from India or, you know, China. No. We're talking about throwing the doors open. Here come the 70 IQ West Africans. You know,
with machetes, with hatchets.
Yeah. Yep. That's your cultural enrichment.
Well, we get a poll on October 9th, 2016 from the ABC News, Don, mainstream media, Murdoch media. Half of all Australians want Muslim immigration banned.
Yes, and the other half need to get their head examined.
Yeah, so, and I think it's even more than that. I think they just halved it to not make it look too bad. But
When you look behind it, who's behind the open borders? Who's behind this open society, you know, organization? It's the Jews. It's George Soros. You know, it's all the usual suspects. You know, all these media, you know, the Barbara Spector, you know, on and on and on. The names are all out there. And they're trying, not only are they ripping us off, they're trying to eliminate us from the planet. So why call somebody a racist? Well, a racist, what it boils down to, is somebody who thinks that white people should continue to exist. Okay, and for us to continue to exist, we need our own countries. We need borders, because white, and it's just a simple biological formula here, okay? White plus white equals white. White plus non-white equals non-white. So for us to continue to have white people, we need to stop the flood of the brown people. The only reason the brown people are coming in here is to destroy our civilization and to destroy us physically. That's why they're coming here. They're not coming here for a better life. The Jews don't give a shit about giving brown people a better life. They're here as a proxy army for the Jews.
Well, people need to look at France.
Yes.
Need to look at Sweden. They're not there for a better life. They're raping and pillaging.
They're raping and pillaging.
This is disgraceful. Look at Germany.
That Sarkozy, that Jew, is like, no, it's our duty to intermarry and interbreed with them. No, it's not. That's like saying it's. I guess I'm not even going to go there. You know, it's ridiculous. Okay, Sarkozy. Okay, he's a Jew, so you can't call him a traitor because he's a Jew, but he should be hung nonetheless. He should be strung up from a tree. Or, you know, a gallows, or, you know, I saw one French girl on Twitter. She put out a little quick YouTube video, and she was talking about the flood of all these mud people, and she had a T-shirt on. You know, she's a cute young French girl, and she had a T-shirt that had a picture of a guillotine on it, and it said "Made in France." I'm like, yeah, it's time to wheel the guillotines out again.
Yeah, enough's enough.
You know, execute a few of these, you know, grab a Rothschild, grab a Warburg, grab a Schiff, you know, and get them into the public square and guillotine them.
Yeah.
Let's do that a few times. That will settle all this down.
Yeah. Well, they'll go into the bunkers.
Merkel should be publicly executed for what she's done. She is destroying the German society.
I think at least solitary confinement for the rest of her life in a pit somewhere, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
In a danky dark jail, just in solitary confinement with water and bread until she dies.
We'll put her in a Jewish prison somewhere.
What a disgusting traitor to that country, and really, you think about it, you know, the assault on Europe and Germany has never really stopped. I mean,
no,
you know, they just blew them to bits before, but this is a new kind of assault. It's very very cunning and sick, you know, and it's and it really is. Hey, let's just breed them out, you know, and a lot of people would say on the other side, oh, these white people whinging, you know, but you deserve it. You got your time coming because, you know, all you've done is invade countries. Look what England did, and, you know, look what they did to the Aboriginals in Australia. And I agree with all this, but people need to understand that the plan behind that was a Zionist Jewish plan. It always has been throughout history. When this has happened, I mean, look at Thomas Goodrich's book Hellstorm, what they did to Nazi Germany. You know,
yep.
There were white people involved in that. There were white people involved in a lot of murder and killing throughout time, you know, but the plan has always been a Jewish plan, and it still is today, and that's what people need to understand, you know. White people don't deserve anything. We deserve to live in our countries in peace, and this is open genocide in front of the whole world.
It's genocide.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's disgusting. Yeah. It's just unbelievable. I couldn't believe what that happened. you know, and it really defies belief. I don't know how bad it is. I'm not in Europe. I'm not on the ground, but they're in. You know, I mean, they can start kicking them out, but they're in there now.
I keep hearing that they're going. Okay, the European people now are starting to really get upset.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah. I mean, there's open rebellion.
How would you like, Don, if you were sitting there watching TV, having a beer one night in your lounge room, and 1,000 people just came in and started having a party on top of you, you know? I mean...
Yeah, and if you want them to leave, you're a racist.
Yeah, and then they start calling people and more come, and then they smash your house, and then they tie you up and humiliate you, and then break everything and take over your whole place, and then they move in, take over the whole neighborhood. I mean...
And that's cultural enrichment. That's vibrant, you know, that's... vibrancy, you know.
Yeah, you know, the one thing with the Europeans and particularly the Germans, I've met a lot of Germans and they're great people, but they can be pretty serious, but they like to do things their way, and they're very much creatures of habit, you know, as we mentioned at the start, you know, the Swedish and stuff, they're kind of serious in that respect, and they had a good life over there in their countries, you know, with their cities and their work and having their bars and their coffee and their things that they do and that certain particular way of life. And now these people have just moved in and taken over their neighborhoods. And now their governments are saying you have to move out and give your housing up to them and all this. And now they're paying for benefits, which is crippling Sweden. And they're attacking and raping their women. They're bludging on their society. And in the face of all of this, they have no respect and they seem to be getting off on it. You know, and that to me requires immediate expulsion by army. You know, on the streets, get them out immediately now. You know, but it's still taking place. And I can't imagine how the Europeans feel. You know, because just to be sort of bossed around and pushed out, and you know, I see all these incredible videos on Twitter. You know, with these immigrant kids bashing up little boys, and you know, and attacking people on the streets, and then. How would people feel? How would you feel, you know, if these people came in and just took everything that you know and love and everything you've earned in your life and everything you've put forward, your house, your family, and just come in and take it all?
Just because the government's
funding it and pushing it, your own government, just traitorous, and it's unbelievable, raping your women, beating them up, spitting on you, you know?
Never before in history have we seen this sort of thing happen, where the own governments have just flung open the gates. Well, it's because, I guess we have seen it before, when the Jews got into Spain, they opened the gates for the Muslim invasion then, so they're doing the same thing now.
They've always wanted to do it, haven't they? It's a big thing.
The mindset of the Jew is to destroy civilization.
I don't know, Don, how strong the genetic line of the whites are. I mean, I'm assuming, because I've seen, you know, if you get a white person marry or have kids with a African or Indonesian or anyone like that, I don't have anything against these people, I'm just making a comment, you know, those babies do change.
What I was talking about.
Yeah,
okay.
And so you can see their idea is to breed us out.
Breed us out. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it is. Simple. To blend us out of existence. Yeah.
Just blend you out. Yeah.
We've got recessive genes. So if you're a traitor, your traitorness to our race shows in your skin. If you're a race traitor, there's no avoiding it. You know, if your parents are traitors, you will. There's no hiding it. You know?
I think there's a lot of people around the world, you know, white and colored people who have married and for love and everything like that. You know, and that's fine for them. We don't have anything against them, but we're not talking about that. You know, this is massive.
We're running,
this is millions and millions and millions of savage. 100, you know, you know.
100 years ago, white people were 1/3 of the Earth's population. Now we're about 8%. You know, we can't be careless with our DNA anymore. And of course the Jew wants more multiculturalism, more diversity, more flooding. You know, okay, we're going to stop that. Trump is diametrically opposed to that agenda from day one. And, you know, just I watched his little YouTube clip. And so on day one, he's going to do executive orders to with one, withdrawal from the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yep. Yeah. He's going to cancel restrictions on developing American energy, you know, i.e. coal.
You're going to put the TPP in doubt.
Yeah, the TPP was a debacle.
Disaster. Would have stripped all our industry we have left.
And then he's going to develop a plan to protect America's infrastructure.
Because I'd be right in saying that a lot of your infrastructure in the United States is apart, like Detroit.
It's we're gonna quit spending money in the Middle East to fight Israel's wars. We're gonna rebuild our country.
What about your cities and transport and yeah, all that? I mean, yeah, how is it, must be kind of getting old, you know?
Well, it's 40 years old, all of it. And if we had that $4 trillion that we spent, or $6 trillion, on fighting wars for Israel, you could have new roads in this country, new bridges. That's
tourism
coming.
Industry, then, as well. I think a lot of the world wants to go back and visit the United States, you know, yeah, and visit the country. And I think that hasn't been happening. And I think to bring it back up and make it look nice again, you know, although, I mean, it was a good thing.
Since Trump got elected, Turkey issued a warning. Hey, the United States is racist now. Yeah, you didn't watch it.
Well, they don't have anything else but to smear and attack, you know. Yeah.
Well, how much more accommodating can we be to the mud people of the planet?
Wouldn't it make sense that they're just jealous? You know, I mean. You know.
Well, that's exactly it. Because, okay, you know, on this. Okay, just to finish this up, just for the record. And then Trump is going to investigate abuses of the visa programs that undermine American workers, because people overstay their visa for, like, 10 years or whatever. Jesus. Hey, F you. And then six, he's going to do a 5-year ban on lobbying. So if you get elected and you leave office at some point, you cannot be a lobbyist for 5 years. So the revolving door of shills is going to slow down a little bit on that front.
I'm hoping. Yeah. God. Yeah. It's just, to watch it is unbelievable. What's happened to your country is... It's just crazy. It's like a slow cancer, isn't it?
Yeah, we built the greatest country the earth has ever seen.
It's a beautiful country, United States, as well. I haven't been there, but, you know, the wilds of America, you know, your national parks. And, I mean, you guys really have everything like we do here. You know, you guys have really got it all. It's such a shame to see these traitorous people do that, you know?
A shining city on a hill cannot be hit.
A bongo.
And, you know, okay, and like I was going to, okay, let's talk about, okay, well, you guys are white supremacists. Well, I'll tell you who the biggest white supremacists are all the Syrians, the Africans. They all come flooding here. Hey, well, just because your skin's white doesn't mean you're better. Well, okay, if we're not better, then why does everybody want to
Are China racist? Are white people allowed to go and do what they want in China?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, if 1,000 of us went over there and went into some village in China, do you think we could just be allowed to take over?
What if, million of us did that, or do you think, in one place, go to India or somewhere and just start flooding in, you know? Wouldn't we go over to, you know, extremist Muslim countries in the Middle East and just start preaching Christianity?
Well, we tried that. And it
well,
didn't
you'd
work.
Be headless.
But, yeah, and you handless. Would now. But they can come here. And
that's the thing.
If these brown people are equal, then why haven't they built a society they want to live in? Why do they have to? If black people are so great, then why is it that when black people want a better life, they have to go live with white people? They don't even want to. Black people don't even want to live with black people themselves. And then we get called racist because we don't want
to
live with them.
To evolve.
Yeah. What black person goes to Haiti to have a better life?
I've said it so many times. I don't have a problem with African people. I don't have a problem with Muslim people. I don't have a problem with Asian people. I don't have a problem with any of these people. And in fact, maybe one day in another life, I would visit those countries. I don't have a problem with Indians or whoever they are in their countries. As long as they're in their countries, and I'm sure they got their culture and their way of life and their religious belief systems and their food and their natural and civil identities, great. You know, that's fantastic. But why should we have to be overloaded with all of this? You know, I mean, it's because we're a white nation. Well, it's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. And then You know, when we speak out against it, the media have their... I think
you're
people
racist,
are going beyond it now, Don, and that's proof in America. I think the media racism card has been pulled too many times, and it's outdated and it isn't working anymore. And as you said, as we've said before, you know, I think you're seeing the media get desperate now because they're running out of ideas and they can't stop this change. And you know, and I think they're just going to get... I've said that last year, the media are going to get uglier as they get more desperate, as they try and find answers to keep peddling the same old bullshit. But it's old and it's stale and people are waking up to it now. You know, and it's a very obvious thing. I mean, look what just happened to Europe. Nobody in their right mind can say that's a good thing. It's a disaster.
No.
It's a disaster.
Paris is not Paris anymore, okay? I don't know if you've seen the YouTube clips.
It's an occupied state.
You know, yeah, it is. Yeah, they got just debris and garbage. Paris was probably the greatest city on earth.
Oh, yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, and look at it now. It's insane. I mean, how many Eiffel Towers are there in Africa? You know? I mean, the Louvre. Well, I mean, do we see artwork like this in the sub-Saharan Africa? No, we don't.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. He said it in the Matrix movie, you know, that the humans are like kind of like a virus or something where they just, you know, they consume areas, they consume everything, the resources, everything, and when there's nothing left, they move on to another area to consume that. And I think that really explains the Africans, because you can see in Africa now with all the problem and torment and everything, they can't build anything, they can't get themselves out of the shit, and now they're like in forested zones, they're eating all the bush meat, they're eating all their animals, you know, they're eating each other, attacking each other, and as it gets worse, it just goes down and down and down, you know, they can't get themselves out of it, and you can see they're like de-evolving in that sense, you know, and it's horrible to watch, but they can't get themselves out. They can't build stuff. They kick the white farmers out of South Africa and Zimbabwe, and they can't feed themselves.
They starve.
They can't grow food even.
No, they can't grow enough food to feed themselves. So really, their population has no business being this big. It's only because we fed them so much. We've grown our own Frankenstein monster, and now it's coming back to bite us. You know? We busted ass. We gave them free food, you know, all kinds of aid to Africa. And what happened? Well, the population exploded, and now they're coming here. They want to rape your daughter. They want to rape your girlfriend. They want to rape your wife. And they want to steal all your stuff.
And then they're causing chaos in Australia, in Melbourne. These African kids, they've started these gangs, and they're just stealing, robbing.
Well...
it's unbelievable.
We're finally getting a backbone here in white America, and I think the white people around the world. I think the white Europeans are now have had enough, and no more Mr. Nice Guy. I saw a picture here. Somebody spray painted on a bridge not too far here from my house. It said Trump 2016, law and order Trump. You know, white genocide ends 2017. And I think that's right. I think this is, we're going to look back on the year. This 2016, 2017, 2015. This is when it started to turn around for us. We are not going to fade away. Okay. We are not going to just exit the world stage, you know, quietly. We're not going to just, and I think here's an apropos poem, maybe to wrap things up with, Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night by Dylan Thomas. Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage against the dying of the light. The wise men at their end know the dark is right. Because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Good men, the last wave by, crying how bright. Their frail deeds might have danced in a green bay. Rage against the dying of the light. Wild men who caught and sang the sun in flight and learned too late they grieved it on its way. Do not go gentle into that good night. Grave men near death who see with blinding sight. Blind eyes could blaze like meteors and be gay. Rage against the dying of the light. And you, my father, They're on a sad height. Curse, bless. Bless me now with fierce tears, I pray. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
That says it.
And we are not going gentle into that good night.
That's right. Hey, some amazing also to see these idiots out there who are trying to drum up violence by inciting violence, saying that, you know, the Trump supporters and Donald Trump win. It's dividing the planet and making everybody fight.
Yeah,
this,
Soros,
but no one mentions Soros.
Soros pays people $350 a day to go out and beat on Trump supporters physically.
I've seen a lot of the things,
attack them. And, okay, and at the NPI, we should probably touch on the NPI real quick. Spencer last weekend had his NPI conference, and at the end of the speech, he said, hail victory, hail Trump, you know, hail our people. And there was protesters outside. Apparently, he went outside. One of the NPI people got, I saw, he got a, you know, they punched him in the head. He was bleeding all over his forehead. They threw urine bottles or balloons at Spencer. And these are what we're up against. And they think that we're violent. Well, you haven't seen violence yet. I mean, Trump on day one is going to start deporting these people. You know, all these mestizos that have infested every city in this country, all these illegal aliens, they're going to start getting rounded up. Within the first year, I think you're going to see 2 to 3 million of them gone. And I'm willing to bet there's probably 30 plus million illegal aliens in this country.
Yeah.
And they all have to go. You have to go. I'm sorry, but you all have to go back. No more Somalis. In fact, Trump even mentioned the Somali population. We have got a huge Somali population here in Minneapolis. And that one just freaked out on the OSU campus. And anybody that thinks it's a great idea to import more of these people, just look at what was going on at Ohio State.
Jesus, I can't work out why that's happening. Yeah. It's insane.
And you've got every cab driver in this town is Somali.
God.
Get on a freeway now and you see, you know, red and white cab or blue cab, whatever, airport taxi. Every damn one of them is a Somali.
They're violent, too.
I'm like, you bet they are. You know, well, they don't know how to drive very well. And then they talk on cell phones that guess who's paying for. You know, they all got a better cell phone than I do. I can guarantee you that.
The Indians taking over. The Indians, you know, I guess at least they're not violent. They do seem to work hard, you know.
Well, but they take jobs from
they
guys
They take
like
all
me,
the jobs, you know, so, yeah. Well, you know, in India they can get all sorts of degrees for a few rupees, is it? You know,
they
come here, they're not accepted. They have to actually study, you know. And, you know, they come in and they take all the work. Yeah.
Yeah, the H-1B visa program is going to end. Trump's already talked about that.
Yeah, I think they need to really start restricting these visas, you know. In Australia, the visa is out of control, how many visas they can get. And they know how to manipulate the visa system and get all sorts of ones, you know. But it all equals bludging on our system, you know. But a welfare system, that's the thing, you know. I know recently it's got incredibly strict for immigrants coming on boats. I think they've totally banned them coming in. It's very hard now here in Australia. The laws have just changed in regards to that. So anyone coming from Indonesia on the boats don't have a chance in hell of coming here, which is good. And that was forced through with new government in place as well in there. But, you know, the thing is these people smugglers and everything, there's a lot of corruption going on in the countries. But when you've got a welfare state, you know, all they need to do in their mind is get here, you know, because they're thinking that, you know, they just need to get that foot in the door and they can get access to
it. And then it's a bunch of free stuff.
To it. And that keeps bringing them. So that the government need to come out and cut it. You know, they need it. They need it for us when we need it as a backup system. But they say anyone else, you're not getting it. You know, but the first thing they do when they come into this country is they go straight to welfare, you know?
No illegal alien.
They shouldn't be paid. If you can't support yourself here and you can't speak English and you can't work, then you're not coming.
No, we don't need you. We've got enough.
You know, it's no use going on the system. But as I said, that's what's happening in Sweden, and the Swedish people are paying for it. And now the crime's going to get bigger, and it's going to get uglier.
The only way it's going to improve is they have to go back to their countries. Okay,
I can understand. Yep. I mean, wouldn't it be better if Australia and America and these countries, instead of wasting all that money, you know, if they worked out a way where these people could maybe try and help themselves, I mean, with kind of growing food and things like that. Not too much, but, you know, they're wasting so much money.
Yeah, we've tried all that before. You know, just cut them off.
Maybe it's time to just cut it all off.
It's time to sink or swim. Because, look, I mean, big picture, okay, look. Brown people, black people, and Jews are not at all compatible with white society. Now, can you mix a few Asians in? Yeah, because most of them are smart enough to learn your language and do the jobs. But, you know, again, we don't want to be handing them spots in our universities and high, you know, Asians make the most money in this country right now out of any ethnic group. You know, I mean, if you take the big Jew bankers out of the picture, of course, you know, Asia for Asians. You know, there's no reason why Asians can't make, you know, build their own companies. And
you get a lot of white people over there so much, you know.
But why are they coming here? You know, they can build companies and they can do stuff over there, can't they? They don't need to come flooding into Canada and the United States. And I assume the Chinese want to go into Australia.
Culture that everybody wants, you know. It's that positivity. Yeah,
even though Asians have higher IQs, they're not, for whatever reason, they're not quite as creative as we are.
Do you? You know,
I have no desire to go to great European
cities, and you want to go to Washington and New York, and you want to go to white places and white countries and see all that. There's just something about it, you know?
I want to go to Melbourne, you know? I want to go to... you know, I want to go to Australia.
I want to go to Scotland. Yeah, I want to go to Ireland because that's where my family's from.
I want to go to Ireland, yeah.
I want to go back there. And
I'm part of Irish. I'm Scottish. I'd love
to go to Scotland in particular, very much so, you know. And that's the way I am. I mean, am I racist because I want to go to Ireland? I don't understand this. All these people want to come to our countries and just ruin it. And that makes us bad people. But I don't want
to
go there.
Wanting to preserve. No. I mean, okay, look. Long term. Okay, what is a white supremacist? Really? Okay, the definition I think most people accept is like, well, white people ruling over all these other people. And I like what Don Black, I listen to Stormfront every day.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
And he was talking about, and he was talking about, hey, look, okay, this white supremacist model where we have black maids or Mexican, it doesn't work, okay? You let all these people into work, and you lose your whole society, okay? It didn't work for Egypt. You know, Egypt, I'm sorry, folks, all the pyramids were built by white people, okay? Egypt was a white country until it got flooded with brown, and see, that's the model of today is Egypt, ancient Egypt. It got flooded with brown people, and now you've got this kind of mix, and they've done nothing for, 2,000 years now. Once it went dark, that was it. No more culture, no more pyramids, nothing.
There's no progression.
See, yeah, exactly. And see, that's the Jewish model of this artificial, you know, the Kalergi plan. This is that artificial evolutionary process they want to inflict on everybody. I mean, nobody voted for this shit. Nobody in Britain said, hey, we want 30 million muds in here to wreck London. You know, look at, we've got a damn Muslim mayor in London now. That's disgusting.
It's a worry here as well. You know, the Muslims and Sharia law, you know. They've got political parties now,
white Christians built these societies, okay? And the minute that they cease to be white Christian societies is the minute they cease being societies at all.
I just personally think Sharia law and Muslim religion is satanic.
Well, it's Jewish.
That's satanic. That's steeped in Satanism, think it's very dark, I think it's evil, and I don't want it here. And this is a white country in Australia. We don't want this. I don't care how much the Muslims claim that they're family people and they're good people. Great. If you're going to be good people and you're family people and you worship Allah and you go to your mosques, do it in your own fucking country. Do it over there. We don't want mosques in Australia everywhere. It's ridiculous.
You know,
it's insane.
Yeah, pray. I don't care. I don't care how many times a day you pray.
Pray a million times a day in your own country. I'm sorry. This is not a Muslim country. It's Australia. They don't get it, though.
In France, even though France is getting flooded, they're saying, hey, you can't wear that crap to the beach. You got to wear a swimsuit at the beach. So that was their thing last summer. Maybe they'll have a little more backbone this summer and start. Although I see now where France is going to pay them 2,500 I think, is it pounds or whatever, if they voluntarily leave before the end of the year. So in the next month, if they voluntarily self-deport, France will pay them $2,500.
Jeez. It's,
I mean, and some people are like, well, that's a lot of money. I'm like, I'll tell you what, $2,500 to get rid of one of these people, that's the best bargain you've ever had. You know, I was reading The Right Stuff a couple months ago, and they had an article called The Racial Tithe, where they divided up the federal, budget, who gets the benefits, who pays in. It turns out on a per capita basis, everybody pays almost the same in taxes, various income, because it's you pay what it is. But it's black people consume so many more resources from the government. And the mestizos, because they don't know English, so you got to teach them that. And they even after going through years of school, they still don't know it. And each black person in the United States is responsible for about $10,000 of the yearly federal budget deficit. Each mestizo is about $7,800, somewhere in there. So each time you look at one of these people, think -10,000, -10,000, -10,000, -7,500, -10,000. Now add that up over a seed.
Well, you said it was like dropping a bomb on a nuclear bomb on a nation.
Yeah, that's what they do because, okay, there goes your tax base. So now you can't afford the police protection. You can't afford fire. So if a building catches on fire, well, there's no fireman around to put it out. It's just going to burn, so everything burns to the ground, and then nothing gets rebuilt. There's no police in Detroit. I mean, you can't call a cop now if somebody steals your stereo. They're not coming. And even if somebody gets shot, they may not stop by until the next day.
See?
Because there's just not enough cops, and they're not going, and there's no go zones everywhere now.
Those somewhere like Detroit, as you said, is really mirroring nations, black nation, over in Africa, African nations.
Yep.
So
yeah, that's a good what thing. Mogadishu.
Exactly right. Yeah.
No, we didn't spend. I mean, we didn't go to school and learn how to be an electrician or a plumber or be an engineer or scientists. We didn't do all this stuff to just throw it all away.
It's well said. Yeah.
And Merkel, oh, they're coming here to pay our pensions. Bullshit. They're not going to pay any pensions. They're a net drain. How are they going to pay anything? They consume. The Bible describes them as locusts, palmer worms, canker worms. They're parasites
leeching off us.
Yep.
Well, it's up to the people. I mean,
I think this sort of thing is racial reality is now, that's the one upside of this maybe, is racial reality is now reaching the most protected, judified portions of our society. You can't avoid this anymore. It's on. They're in your neighborhood now. They're on your street corner, and they're coming for you.
Crikeys.
Well, hopefully Trump can clean house here. We've got high hopes for him. Build the wall.
Put some respect
deport
back into
the
country, for God's sakes, you know?
Yes,
you can't have all those
exactly.
Mexicans just
you know,
running
in the United
wheel.
States.
That's ridiculous. What
no,
have you did
I mean,
to them?
The drugs, the crime. There's more, you know, I've heard with all these drug gangs down on the border, there's more people killed on the U.S.-Mexico border every year than there was in the entire Vietnam War.
Have you seen
War.
Those Mexican gangs? Jesus, they yeah. are the scum of the earth, mate.
No, well, that's cultural enrichment.
Yeah, look at these people, man. You want those people in your country? They are the scum. They are evil. Evil.
Yeah, I mean, there's our border patrol. Yeah, our border patrol.
The Mexican
gangbangers,
they're covered in tattoos, you know, these young guys all on their face and everything. They're filling up your prisons. These people don't even, they have.
It's hard to even call them people. You know, they're just, they're monsters.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. And luckily now we're finally starting to snap out of this and get them out of here. You know, if I was king for a day, and I've talked about this, I mean, look, like I said before, okay, look, black people just aren't as a whole compatible with white society. Okay, so what does this do? Okay, I mean, you can see the bell, the IQ graphs. They're just steps behind us, okay? So the net result of that is, you know, we don't want them here. We're not happy living and working with them. And, you know, and at a certain level, they're not that happy either, because look at all the Black Lives Matter protests. You know, they're mad because they're frustrated. Well, because they don't fit in here. And they know it at a base level, but protesting against us isn't going to make them any smarter. So the solution is to separate. It's time for a divorce, okay? White America needs to divorce itself from Black America. And, you know, if this country does balkanize, which I think is, you know, is a distinct possibility, I'm all for creating a black ethno state, maybe in, say, Mississippi or Alabama, you know. And I was talking to one of my friends, it would probably end up being more akin to like an Indian reservation than an actual black nation, because let's face it, they're not going to build anything there. It's whatever infrastructure there, they will destroy it within 20 years. But I say, you know what, just put them in there. Hey, if they're equal to us, they should be able to build the exact same kind of cities, the same kind of cars. But we all know that's not going to happen. So all this equality bullshit that they're throwing at you, it's a lie. It's another big fat Jewish lie. And we've had enough. We can see it now.
That's right. Unbelievable. And I might finish up today's show, and I really, one person I hope gets lynched is George Soros. I really do. I don't know where he is. Is he in the U.S.?
Oh, yeah.
Where does this creature live? In a coffin somewhere? I just... guy's causing
problems. I think he does live in a coffin until nightfall.
He's not shy about it. I was just reading an article about him funding the, you know, the gay and lesbian and bisexual transgender movement, all on the TVs, you know, on our children in the schools. We got it here, you know, they're doing that to our kids now, teaching them about gay men and all this is terrible. And also he's funding all these groups to go and cause trouble, and he's openly doing it as well with his money in front of the whole planet. That's a man that needs to be lynched.
Yes, he needs to meet up with the tribunal somewhere.
Right.
And he needs to go on trial for his life, and he needs to answer for this is an invasion. He needs to answer for invading Europe and the United States.
That's one man you could pin. I mean, you don't need any trials for him. I mean, they do it. They do it to these war criminals and stuff. They drag them through and they trial them.
I would still like to put him on the stand and make him talk and you know, question him, see if you couldn't get some more out of him and, you know, rat him out a little more. I mean, we know who's involved in this, but make him go through that process. And then, you know, I don't care how old he is. He needs to go to the gallows.
Slowly.
Yep. Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Put him on a horse. Throw the other end of the rope around a tree limb and smack that horse in the ass, you know.
Yep.
That's how we did it in the Wild West.
Yeah, he needs to go.
He needs to go. Yes, he does.
He's sick. He's sick. He's a demented, sick creature who needs to go urgently.
Well, again, Jews are not compatible with our society.
Well, they're not compatible with our planet.
With any society, no. There's some sort of an alien invasion force. Jews, I know, in a way I do support Israel because there needs to be a place to send them. I've heard either Madagascar or Israel. You know, take your pick. I say you cut off all foreign aid to Israel. And in fact, I want clawback. We're going to open up the Rothschilds. We're going to open up the vaults and we're going to take back every damn dime we ever sent to Israel. And then we're going to get reparations for 9/11. We're going to get reparations for World War II. We're going to get reparations for World War I. You are going to pay. This is not going to stop with Trump. You know, we have not yet begun to fight. We are not going to hit the snooze button again. We know who did this to us, and we're coming.
I think put them all back in Israel. Send them back. I mean,
yes, they're going to go back there, but then guess what? We're coming there, and we're going to have trials, and we're going to get clawback, and we're taking our money back, Jews. That's right. That's right, Jews, because we're starting to get heard now. We're starting to get cohesion within our people. We know who's doing this, and we outnumber you guys by quite a bit. And if you want to try your little Samson option, I don't think that's going to work out too well for you.
Weapon. What is it? It's really the media, isn't it? It's the media, the movies,
yes, and
the
papers,
all of that stuff.
The media has a lower approval rating than Congress.
It's not hard to take down. It can be done.
So the parasite Jew needs to be removed, and the blacks need to be removed, and the Asians need to be removed from our society.
Yeah, go back to your own countries and do what you see fit there. You know,
Yes, multiculturalism is a failure. Diversity is a failure. It's all a failure, and we're going to start fixing things. And it starts in January 20th, 2017.
Right. Yeah, very interesting to keep an eye on this and, see how this goes and moves forward. Indeed. Yeah.
It's finally nice to see now maybe we're going to get
going
somewhere.
He's a very confident guy, you know? Trump. He doesn't care what the media think. He's doing his own thing. He's got his own money. It's interesting.
He's not pandering for AIPAC.
I like the way he talks. I've not seen a presidential after speech after winning an election. You know, after he won, that speech was very different. He's very open, and so...
Well, okay, now I don't want to see Rudy Giuliani.
Nobody
as
wants to see
of State.
Rudy Giuliani anything.
You know, and I know people are mad about Mitt Romney. Okay, I'm not thrilled with Mitt Romney either. I mean, I've seen Mitt Romney give the speeches at AIPAC. That's pretty disgusting. But I'd still take Mitt Romney over Rudy Giuliani. Yeah. Just because of what Giuliani did on 9/11. He was one of the biggest crooks and cover-up artists of that disaster. He just cannot have a formal role in the government.
Can't believe he's still relevant.
He just can't.
It's just amazing. It's
look at who he must have been working for. So I guess that
I expected him to die out years ago. You know, just go away, disappear.
Well, what I'm hearing now behind the scenes is he's starting to kind of slip mentally a little bit.
Time to go.
So. Yeah, it doesn't sound like that's an actual serious. They just had Trump has everybody in for an interview.
Change things up.
I think Trump will talk to everybody. Yeah. He's a negotiator, but I guess watch what he actually
does.
See
that. Yeah, next year. Yeah, it's coming up fast. Obongo's still clinging on there. You know, you just want to see the end of him, don't you? And his husband.
Well, truth be told, I voted for the guy. Because I didn't want McCain and Romney were just disgusting.
Yeah, I know.
I thought for sure McCain. Yeah, we would have war with Russia and war with Iran, and I mean, so I thought, well, hey, you know, at least Obama talks about being against the war. But yeah, look what you got now. Yeah, so we
disaster.
Got we got Obama, and he's not a Muslim either, folks. By the way, he's Jewish. Okay, his mom was a Jew, and his grandfather was named Baruch Heshi Obramovitz. Okay, that's not a Muslim name, folks.
You can see him with his little Jewish hat on anyway.
Yes, exactly. I've seen him with the yarmulke plenty of times. You can see him
when he was with, what was his name? Benjamin Netanyahu, when he comes to the U.S. and they have meetings.
Yeah.
You can see Benjamin Netanyahu looking at him, and it's almost like a visible, you know, it's like a ventriloquist, you know? It's like he controls Obama with his eyes, and when Obama speaks, it's coming from Netanyahu, you know? And he's giving him, he just looks at him, you know? And it's like, who's the controller here? I mean, you know, you look at it as an outsider, and you see Netanyahu in America, and you think, well, that's your president, you know?
And he's married to that. His real name was Michael Robinson, who played middle linebacker in high school. You know, that's who Michelle Obama is. Michael Robinson. You know, you can Google that. I've seen those pictures. I'm like, oh my God, that does look like her. You know, she went through some sort of a sex change operation. Yeah, well, yeah. And she still does, I think, according to some reports. You know, so at least we're going to have a real female first lady.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, okay, maybe Laura Bush wasn't like a runway model knockout, but hey, at least she was a woman.
Is this a Slovenian? Slovenian?
Yeah, no, yeah. No, Melania Trump. Melania Trump, she is a knockout. Yeah, she's a former.
Yeah, Slovenia, Slovakia.
So we're going from this debacle to actual good looking white people in the White House. Yeah. I mean, just aesthetically, it's a lot more. I mean, who, if you just looked at the pictures, who should be president of the United States? You know, Trump or Obama? Come on, man.
Yeah. It looks like a president.
Trump is a good.
Doesn't match.
Yeah, he's an alpha male, you know, billionaire. Absolutely, he should be running this country.
All right, we'll pack it up today, and should get you on a little bit more next year, actually, to go over current politics and situations and things going on.
I'm hoping to work less and do.
Yeah,
more
I think we should. You know, we do
year.
The podcast sort of on Kennedy and 9/11, which are very deep and stuff. But think to go over what's happening and alternative news, you know, behind the news. That's a good idea as well to get your perspective because you've got your finger on the pulse there as well. So we'll do that a bit more. Get some a special podcast out as well, maybe. You know, just some extra ones out to keep up. Because people like hearing what's going on around, you know, what's happening now.
And, absolutely.
Being here, especially for us, you know, we're not getting the real deal. Have to go online, you know, to alternative sites, trusted ones to get any information. So as Trump comes into power next year, I want to sort of find out what's really going on. Because the media are going to lie about it, everything that happens, you know. To keep you in the dark.
And of course they are.
You know, if, people are amazing that they're still tuning into it. I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Zucker's not going to wake up one day and go, oh my God, I've been lying this whole time. I'm going to start telling
I've
the
had
truth
a
today.
Epiphany.
You
know? Yeah. Bing, an
epiphany, yeah.
Moment.
No.
No.
It's not going to happen. So, yeah, so tune in here next year, folks. We'll have
anything
some more good
mention?
Stuff for you. Look out. I got another, you know, I'm always working on a blog post or two. Catch up with me at donaldfox.wordpress.com. And I'm on Twitter at Donald J. Fox. That's J-A-Y is my middle name. So I post under my own name.
There you go.
I'm not a
coward
chill.
Posting multiple.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, if I troll you.
Pages. Hundreds of them. Yeah, with different pictures and. Scum. Scumbag
that's
trolls.
That's right.
Yeah. too weak to even admit their real name. It's the way it is.
So, yeah, we've got some other projects on tap for this next year. We're going to up our game. I guess that's I'll leave it at that.
Great. All right, and we'll catch up again soon and keep in touch via mail as usual. And thanks for chatting. I'll put this up soon and link it through to you.
Thanks, okay, Tom. It's great talking to you, Adam.